Well, we've been in a series called Health to All Their Flesh. We've been in Proverbs 4, so go ahead and turn over to Proverbs 4. And Wednesday nights, we focus on faith and healing. That's when we don't have a scripture sheet for Wednesday nights, just for now. We have that on Sunday mornings, but we're just going to turn to these scriptures right now. Proverbs 4, verse 20. Give you a minute to turn. Proverbs 4, verse 20. This has been the verse that we've taken as the text. It says there, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you." Verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart." Verse 22, "For they," his words, "are life to those who find them, and their health to all their flesh." And that's the main part we focused on there. His words are life to those who find them, and their health to all their flesh. But verse 20, we'll read over this and come back. Verse 20 says, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my saying." So not every saying, not every philosophy, just because it's a bestseller, means nothing. How many of you know? There are books that are on the bestseller list. Won't do you a bit of good. And if you try to put them into practice, it can harm you. There are things on the bestseller list that are fiction. Not going to help you to put that in your head. Not going to help you one bit. Now you got to deal with that stuff. We shouldn't be flippant about what we let into our eyes and our ears. Because you got to deal with it. Your mind doesn't forget. God can forget. You can't. Just by trying. You know, there's images, all of us. I mean, you have images, I'm sure, from different parts in your life, maybe from your childhood. It's just emblazoned in your mind. You, when you think of something, it's there. That's the way your brain works. Now, you can focus on other things, but why put something in your head that you're going to just have to forget or try to block out or try to replace? Why do it? People say things, dumb things. You know, about, well, it's just this type of movie. What, you can't handle it? I don't want to put certain things in front of my... I can watch any movie I want to watch. You're not going to... You know, I'm over 17. I can watch anything I want to watch. There are things I choose not to watch. Why? Because I can't handle it? Because I don't want to put it in my head. Because I'm going to have to deal with those images. I don't want, and you think, well, I'm strong in faith. I can handle seeing stuff that, even if it's questioning, you don't want to put stuff in your head that's going to question your faith. I'm not saying you turn your brain off. The Bible didn't call us to debate. You can't debate faith anyway. At some point, you're going to have to believe. You're just going to have strong faith. In this world, they're trying to make you prove prove it. You can't prove there's a God. You can't prove there's not a God. You can't prove the half the stuff, and half of it, the proofs change. You know, what was bad 10 years ago, all of a sudden isn't bad anymore. Well, somebody was using something to say it was bad. Now it's not bad. But now 10 years, it might be not bad or bad or flip-flop. No, we need to know what we believe. We need to know what the Word of God says. And you do not need to be putting stuff in your head that's going to tell you that God doesn't exist. You need, when we watch certain things, if it's, you may think, well, it's just a little bit. It's all right. The rest of it's okay. Just because they're godless and because they're putting, saying certain things, it's entertaining. Well, there are things that'll get in your mind. It can just be an idea. And it can question God, question Jesus. And now you have to cast that down. Why do you want to waste your mental energy trying to cast something down? You must think you have an abundance of energy. Mental energy. You don't have enough going on that you can use that part of your brain to start, you know, analyzing something that's godless? Huh? Well, I'll just read all that. You know, you read this article, I'll see what this guy says, and this guy said, you get so confused doing that. We need to get at some point, you don't have infinite life. I mean, you're going to live forever, but not on this earth. At some point, we need to get to the point where what God said is true, and I'm going to focus on what He said, and I don't have to see what everybody else said all the time. You need to see what people say where you need to know it. So if you're in a certain field and God's called you to that field, you may need to know some things in that field. You don't need to know everything about everything. It's a waste of time. We don't have enough time to know everything about it. You can't know everything about everything, number one. There's too many things. Well, I know, I just read something. It was just a headline. I didn't read the article, but I saw the headline. You know, your perception of time is messed up when you're looking at stuff online. And you know that from experience. You start looking and you start clicking here and clicking there, and pretty soon it's like, but I want to see that one. Well, then you go that, but then there's that looks really interesting. And then, you know, an hour and a half later, you're like, what did I do? But what do you have to deal with? All that junk you just put in. Now what he's saying here is, my son, give attention to whose words? My words, God's. Incline your ear to my sayings. Now this is written, you know, a man was saying this to his child, but this is the word of God. This is inspired by the Lord. So when you read the Bible, you need to take it as God speaking to you. And it'll mean a whole lot more. As a child of God. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. We need to block out some stuff. We need to determine we're not going to turn over every stone. We're not going to look behind, you know, every tree. We need to start focusing on what he said and block other things out. And that's how we're going to get results. Sometimes we're just focused on too many things and we're confused and we're frazzled. Good night. The world we live in is frazzled. It's a bombardment of information. We don't need to focus on everything. We need to focus on what's important. Verse 21, do not let them depart from your eyes. What? Do not let what depart? His words, not your favorite news page. There's a lot going on, I know. A lot going on. I'm not saying don't look at the news. I'm saying we got to manage ourselves, though, in what we're letting in, our eye gates and our ear gates, knowing that it's going to bounce around in your head and you're going to have to put it out. You just say, I just am interested. We need to cut some of that stuff down because we'll become more effective as there's less junk rattling around in our head than the things that are in there we can focus on. Verse, we've said some of these things, but going through a few of these scriptures before we move on. Verse 22, they are life to those who find them. Now, you can't say that about everything. You know, not every movie you see, not every article you read is life. I don't care what the movie's rated. I don't care who wrote the article. You can tell what the source of it is by how you feel after you read it. If it takes something out of you, it's the wrong spirit. If it puts something into you, it's the right spirit. It may not even be stamped Christian, but it could be godly principles that's putting into you. You can have something that's stamped Christian, and it absolutely puts fear into you if you let it. But it's quote-unquote Christian. You have to watch about quote-unquote Christian stuff. How do you know if it's actually Christian? It's lining up with the Word of God. If it says it's Christian, but it's showing or depicting things or illustrating things that are not in the Bible or are counter to the Bible, that's worse. That's worse than something that is flat out anti-God. At least you know the thing that's anti-God is anti-God, and you take it with a grain of salt. You'll stay away from it. You put a guard up. It's like, you know, if you got a container at home and it's labeled poison, you probably won't take it and chug it. Or take, you know, some grant, you know, if it's rat poison, you're not going to take it and pop it in your mouth like candy, probably. Child maybe would, but you're, you know, as an adult, you're not going to. But if it was labeled, if it was something that was poison, but put in a container of your favorite candy or your favorite snack, and you didn't even think and said, well, that's what it is, and you start eating it, it could kill you. And this is what people do. It's Christian, it's from such and such. So they just, like Brother Hagin used to say, they just open their mouths like little birds, baby birds. You ever see a little baby bird when they don't even have their eyes formed, you know, and they're opening their mouth, and just whatever gets stuffed in their mouth, they just take it and eat it. That's what the way a lot of Christians are. Well, it's Christian. It's on Christian TV. That doesn't mean anything. I don't love Christian TV. I don't watch it. I'll tell you, I don't watch any of it. I'm not saying there's any, I mean, Brother Pastor Hagin's on it. I'm just saying people overdo it. It's not the same as church. Let me tell you that. It's not the same as what's going on here. It absolutely is not, and there's a lot of flaky people on it. Just tell you. Listen, Pastor Hagin, tell you the same thing. He says, I don't like Christian TV, and I'm on Christian TV. Why are you saying that? Because a lot of people have tried to substitute it. And they think that if they just get a whole bunch of doses of that, it's better. No, you'd be better off going to one church service a week and watching no Christian TV than you would watching 8 hours a day of Christian TV. People get spiritually weak, and it's just like entertainment. Why am I saying that? I don't know, but here we go. People are weak spiritually. They think, why? Because it's Christian. You might as well, you'd be better off watching four good, you know, some action movies that are not even, you know, I'm not saying real bad, but stuff that is entertaining and maybe based on history than some of the junk they put on Christian TV. I'm serious. Because you'd come away not thinking it's God. You would just got done thinking you're entertained. But people look at Christian TV and think they're supposed to be learning something, or if it's God, and then they take it and they're confused because they watch 8 hours of TV, they just watch 16 different things. You know, if they're half-hour shows or hour shows, they just watch all this different junk, and half of it contradicts itself, or different people. You got to watch how many people you follow, because there's men. You got to base it on the Word of God, but you can't follow several people. You're going to get yourself confused. You're going to be weak. You're going to be unstable. Thinking, well, this person says this, and you're going to try to believe God. Yeah, but this person says this, and you're looking at men. You're not inclining your ears to the Word of God. You're inclining your ears to men. For they are life to those who find them, and their health to all their flesh. God's Word is health. God's Word is strength. God's Word is life. Not everything that people say in the name of God's Word or say about God's Word is actually life. Some of it's deadly. Let's turn over to Matthew, where we were last week. Matthew 7, verse 7. And say, you sound like you're kind of strong on that. Yeah, I am. Because I've been around this thing my whole life, and I've seen a lot of flaky people that put labels on stuff that's Christian, and they say, this is Christian, that's Christian, and they're weak. They don't believe God. They don't believe His Word. And yet they tout things that are supposed to be Christian, and they're actually just religious, but in the real world, where rubber meets the road, at their job, in their relationships, with their health, with their children, they are flaky and they're weak. And I don't like that, because it's not necessary. People just, if they would just listen to the Word and just listen to God and quit jacking around with all the nonsense and entertainment that's masquerading as so-called Christian stuff, they would be strong. We started out saying we need to cut out the noise. Well, that includes some so-called Christian noise. It's not the same as listening to the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help me, God. Get out what you would have me to say. Thank you, Lord. We have people, before I go there, we have people that on the job are not good workers. They're not hard workers. They don't do what their boss would have them to do because they think they know more than the boss. They are watching a bunch of TV, Christian TV, or listening to a bunch of tapes. They think they know more because they are Christians and know the Word of God, quote unquote. But they aren't doing the Word of God. The Word of God says do work. Not as men pleasers, but as unto the Lord. The Bible says, you know, whether you have a master that is good or not, you listen to him and obey him. It's a plus if you have a Christian master. Where is that? Is that in Timothy? I'm going to find it. Anybody know where it is off the top of your head? Not that. Nope. There you go. 1 Timothy 6. First Timothy 6, verse 1. Everybody there? 1 Timothy 6, verse 1. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and His doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. What's it saying? Actually, I'm going to look it up in the New Living Translation. I need to have one just here with me in case I want to do this, but I can look it up here. Thank God. All slaves should show full respect for their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God and His teaching. If masters are believers, there's no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. Is that clear? They're not just talking about slaves, you know that. If you're working, all slaves or all employees should show full respect for their masters so they will not bring shame on the name of God and His teaching. You know what it's like if an employer has somebody that thinks they know more than the employer and they're a Christian, telling them what to do? Do you think that employer is impressed with Christianity? What do you think he thinks? You know, I don't care. Shut up and do your job. I don't have a high esteem for what you're talking about. Huh? I mean, that's the real world. People don't care what you say. They care about what you do. And you have people that, well, I know more. That guy, he's not Christian. He's not holy like me. This is exactly what I'm talking about. If the masters are believers, there is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers in a well-loved. So if you do have somebody that's a Christian employer, work hard for them too. You're benefiting. It's benefiting a believer. But whether they're Christian or not, some people say, well, if only I had a Christian boss, then I'd work hard. That's not what that verse says. Well, they're not mean. Or they're not nice to me. It didn't say anything about being nice. It says just do the word. Now, I'm just using this as an example. That's what the Bible says. We're talking about inclining our ear unto Him, that it's health to all our flesh. Well, let me give you a tip. It doesn't work. Some people, these same people, if it's, you know, I'm not saying it's you. Just look right ahead and just say, no, thank God, that's the word. I agree with it. This is not to get on anybody's case. This is what the Word says, and I'm using it as an example for all of us. When we go, the Word does not just work in one area. And when we have health issues, a lot of times it's tied to other things in our life. And if we say we're not going to do the Word in one area, and then we're going to claim it as far as health, but we're rejecting it in a different area. It goes together. And you know, especially in this area, if we'll submit ourselves to God's word and do what He says and put our flesh down and do it anyway, your body has got to submit to you too. You'll believe what the word of God, the word says this, so I'm going to do it. But if we say, oh, the word God says this, but it doesn't matter, but then I still want the sickness to leave, it's a contradiction. And the enemy's subtle, he uses these things. He uses these things against us. But we ought to be doers of the word. What we're talking about is inclining ourselves to his words and being doers of them. Not just in church, not just in certain situations, but I'm not talking about being a perfect Christian. Nobody's a perfect Christian. But doing the word where it matters in daily life, not just where like our health is concerned or some other scripture that we pull out and say, well, I'm believing God that this will work for me. I need this healing in my body. But putting aside His other words. It's all connected, and we'll find that the more we just decide we're going to submit to God's Word and say, I'm going to do it, I'm going to believe it, that in other areas, including this area of healing, it will work for us. It will be effective. It will be effectual. God wants to give us good things. Let's go over. Were you guys at Matthew? Matthew 7, we read this. Let's go through this. It is so important that we just incline our ears to what He's saying and let His Word be the Word in every area of our lives. It says in verse 7, Matthew 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to them who ask Him? Therefore, okay, I'm going to skip that part. Or not read verse 12, end in verse 11. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So we read this, I believe, last week. And we said some of these things, but I want to recap some of this. God says here, the Bible says, Jesus is speaking. He said, how much more will God give good things to us? As much as a father, a heavenly parent, heavenly person, or a natural parent will give good gifts to their children, natural parents know to do this. How much more does God in heaven want to do this for us? He desires to give us good things, but he can't just do everything for us. He can't just do anything for us. He needs our cooperation. He needs us to listen to his word. He can't do any more in our lives than we permit him to. That's a sobering thought, but it's true. He said, it says in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, I will eat with him, and he with me. Jesus can't push his way in. He has to have cooperation with us. Man is a free moral agent. He has the ability and the right to make his own choices. He can choose to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and be born again, or he can choose to reject Jesus. That's the way God made us. Even after we're born again, we don't lose our will or our right to choose. If we have a choice as to what we do with God's word. Everybody say, I have a choice. I have a choice. We have a choice as to what we're going to do and how we're going to act to God's word. And there are a lot of people in the world that are rejecting it and say, I don't believe it. I don't believe there's a God. Well, I do. I believe this Bible is true. It's exactly what it says it is. And we all have a choice. Are we going to believe what God said or reject it? And every day we have choices. Every day we decide whether we are going to obey his word in a certain area or not. And we're going to reap the benefits, the results of that choice, one way or another. And he gives us the strength to do it. In other words, he did not set us up to do so. He did not say things in his word and then not give us the strength to act on it if we want. Now, we're going to grow in this, but he looks on the heart, and if we'll endeavor and say, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. If I mess up, I'll get up and I'll go on. That's inclining your ear to his word. It's letting his word be the authority, not letting other things be the authority. If he said in his word, be a good employee. Work hard for your boss regardless of who he is, regardless of what he's done. You act like you're doing it for Jesus. That helped me at one point in my life. I wasn't too happy with the certain work I was doing, even though it was fine work, but I was just tempted to be a little bit frustrated. And when I changed it to, I'm doing this for God. I'm doing it for Jesus. How would I act if it were Jesus as my boss? How would I work? That'll help. That'll help us. And it's not just work. Everything that we do, how will we act if it's for God? Because that's how we're supposed to live our life. What are we going to do? We'll look at life different, but that's a choice. It's how we respond to him. Will we incline our ear to God's word? Will we say, God, what you said is right? God, what you said is true? Will we keep it before our eyes and in the midst of our heart? If we do, the God's word will become life and health to us. So let me ask you a question. If we don't believe God's word in one area, and we decide to disobey it, but then we go over to another area like concerning health, and we say, but it's true over here, something in us, that doesn't line up. And to receive health and strength from his word while at the same time knowingly rejecting it in another area. Now, if you don't see it, you're not accountable for it. When you see it, if it's something that it's quickened to you, God, you see the truth of it and you choose to reject it, yet you say in this area it's going to work for me, but in this area I'm rejecting it, knowingly, it's going to be hard to receive everything that God has for us. We can spare ourselves a lot of misery in life just by doing what the Bible says, by inclining our ears to His sayings. Just doing what He said we're supposed to do. If we need to incline our ear to what God's Word says in every area of our life, when we obey one part of the Bible, it makes it a whole lot easier to obey other parts of the Bible. I'm going to say that again. When we obey the Bible in one part, it makes it that much easier. It makes it so easier to obey it in all other areas. And the same is true flipped. When we decide to disobey the Word in an area knowingly, it makes it easier to start slipping in other areas. And it makes it harder to resist the enemy because we are allowing him in one area. It makes it harder to resist in another area. Because why? We're listening in this area, and at the same time, we're telling him to go in this area. Well, he's not stupid. If you're already listening to him over here, and just if you're not listening to God's Word, and you're listening to what the enemy would say, or ideas inspired by him, and anything contrary to the Word of God would be exactly that. He knows that you're going to try to resist him over here. On this side, I'm pulling, I'm allowing, but this side I'm going to push. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Now, I'm not talking about, does that mean I have to do everything perfect all the time? No. Thank God for Jesus, but you shouldn't knowingly do stuff. If God has dealt with you on a certain area, if He's dealt with you, know. And you specifically say, I'm not going to do that. It's going to be difficult for you then to look over in the Word and say, but by His stripes I'm healed. Now that's not works. I'm not saying you're earning anything. You're not earning anything from God. God already did it. Jesus did it. His Word's true. His Word's right. But if we're going to say your Word is holy, it's right. If something's on my body that shouldn't be there, it has to go. If you're going to take that stand, then when His Word says it, something in a different area, and we say, oh, well, it doesn't really matter here. I don't have to do that over here, even though God specifically showed me this. It's in His Word. How are you going to stand firm and say, oh, no, but this thing has to leave because it's the Word of God? Wasn't this other thing the Word of God? See, it puts you in a position. Again, I'm not talking about being flawless. What I am saying is our heart needs to be right before God, saying, I will do what you said. I will incline your ears. If I see it, do we pray before we get into these services? God, show us. If you say something, we'll do it. We don't just say that to say it. We're opening our hearts to Him and esteeming His Word. And as we do that, we say, Lord, if you see it, if something has to change, it's going to be me. It's not going to be your Word. It's going to be me. I will change. I will, by your strength, I'm going to do what your Word says. And as we do, it puts us in a position then when His Word says something concerning our physical body, which is what we're talking about, it puts us in a position to be strong in faith there, to not move, to not be moved off. This is one key to having strong faith. If God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, how can we tell when we believe something? We'll do it. Amen. We'll do it. We'll act on it and say, no, that's true. I believe that. I believe it. That's right. I'm going to do it. Amen. Inclining our ears to His Word. Hallelujah. God is strengthening us. God is bringing us up. God's word is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken flippantly. It's not to be taken selectively. The Christian life is, when we say we make Jesus our Lord, we are bowing our knee before Him and saying, not my will, but Your will be done, but Lord, in life, in every area. That means if You show me something, I'm going to do it. We live our lives out on this earth, bowing our knee to Him, saying, Lord, if it says in Your word, I'm going to do it. Well, if we put ourselves in that position and say, I am living as a servant of Almighty God, as a child of Almighty God, I will do what You want me to do. I'll go where You want me to go. If Your word says it, I'll do it. Then when something attacks your body and you know in the word that it says that His words are health to all my flesh, you know that His word says He Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, you will be strong to say, Lord, I'm Your servant. I'm doing what You told me to do. This is getting in my way. It's got to move. See, you're in a position of strong faith. You're in a position of, show me. If there's anything that I need to change, I'll change it. Well, when something comes, you're in a full position. Not by your own, what you earned, by your belief. To say, no, this has got to get out of the way. Because I'm endeavoring to do what God has called me to do. This is trying to impede me. Therefore, it has to move. Amen. It all works together. See, we get into error when we try to separate different parts of our life and try to act like it's different. Well, I don't care about this part, but in healing, I'm strong. It doesn't work that way. If we disobey in one area, it's going to be easier to disobey, even in that, or to not be strong. It's going to be easy to pay attention to things that aren't true, put it that way, because we're already doing it. Because we've done it in a different area. Amen.